Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is July 23rd, 2017. We will be looking today at the text assigned for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, as I said, for July 23rd, 2017. And I hope you tuned into my last episode. I had another Friends on Faith on Fridays episode with my friend Katie Grindberg. I am loving those. They are so much fun. I hope you enjoy them as much as I enjoy doing them because, I mean, not only do I get to talk to friends of mine who I maybe haven't seen for a while or I have seen them, but I just get to hang out with them in a different way. I love hearing other people's takes on faith. I love hearing how other people look at the world through the lens of faith. And so I hope you're enjoying those as much as I am. I haven't been doing the weekly podcast as regularly as I would like. Again, my schedule has changed, and I've mentioned before that things have been a little crazy in my life and my husband's life, and they haven't gotten less crazy. In fact, they've gotten a little bit more crazy. We've gotten some really good news on some stuff, and but my schedule has changed, so I'm going to really try hard to just do one episode a week and stay on top of that because I think I can manage that with this new schedule change. And I apologize for being absent for the last couple of weeks, and I apologize for once again changing how this podcast kind of goes. You know, I've tried 2 episodes a week, I've tried 4 episodes a week, I've tried a combination thereof, and it's a work in progress, kind of like we as people are works in progress. So if you've stuck with me this far, thank you so much. I love my listeners, and I hope you will continue sticking with me as we go forward. So as I mentioned, we are looking at the text assigned for this week, July 23rd, 2017. This is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, and we'll get started with that first text, which is from the book of Isaiah. And I will make a quick side note and say that if you remember from a couple weeks ago when I was doing them, there are 2 Old Testament texts assigned, the regular Old Testament text and then an alternate Old Testament text. And when I was doing the 2 episodes for the week, I was doing both of those. And now that I'm doing all 4 in this one episode, I'm just going to do the regular one, not the alternate one. But you can always look that up on any lectionary calendar and it will tell you, or I'll actually give you the verses and you can look them up if you would like to read them, but I won't be discussing them in today's podcast. So the first reading for this morning comes from this morning. I just said tonight. I just said this morning. I have no idea what time it is, apparently, for today. Let's just go with today, shall we? The first reading for today, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, is from Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me, who has announced from old the things to come. Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from old and declared it? You are my witness. If there is any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. So again, that is from Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. And it's, you know, it's only 3 verses, but it feels pretty densely packed to me. There are things that jump out at me from this text. First of all, I am the first and I am the last. You know, we get that in New Testament when Jesus talks about being God being the Alpha and the Omega. That is one name for God. So here God is saying, I am the first and I am the last, basically meaning that God is you know, infinite from A to Z, from alpha to omega, from the first to the last, kind of infinity. And then the, you know, there's all these questions. So if you are saying that you are also a God, then prove it, you know, proclaim it, declare it and set it forth. Sell it, tell us what are the things that are going to come. Tell, let them tell us what is yet to be. God says, have I not told you from old and declare it? Have I not already proved these things to you? And then it says, there is no other rock. I know not one. And again, like Alpha and Omega, first and last, rock to me brings up images of the New Testament and Peter, and I will build my rock, or I will build my church on this rock, on the rock of Peter. Also that, that story and the song that I know from childhood about building your house on the rock, you know, building your house on a firm foundation. The wise man builds his house upon a rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. And then when the rains come, you know, the house on the rock stands firm, whereas the house on the rock, on the sand goes whoosh. That's the song. So those are the things that jump out at me from this Isaiah text. If there are people that are claiming to be God, well, we say to those people, okay, so show me what you got. Show me how you have done all of these saving acts through history. Show me how you compare with the God that I believe in, with the God who has proven again and again and again to be God and to be in this loving relationship and wanting to be with God's people, etc. So that is Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8. The alternate first reading for today is Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19a. And as I said, I'm not going to read those. But again, if you want to look those up on your own, that is Genesis verse 28, Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19a. And we'll now look at the psalm for today. We're going to talk more about the readings today. I'm just reading them quickly here and giving kind of a quick overview, and then I'll be doing a little more study more toward the end of the podcast, just to give you an idea of how this is going to look. So the second text assigned for today, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the Psalms, of course. It comes from Psalm 86, verses 11 through 17. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Again, that is Psalm 86, verses 11 through 17. And again, not a long reading, but very dense, very packed with these amazing images. And if in Isaiah, God is saying, prove to me that you are this God that you say you are, prove to me that you are the God that I say I am, this is the people, you know, wanting to walk in the way of God's truth and saying, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in the truth. But also saying, this is the God that I believe in. This is the God that I give thanks to with my whole heart. This is the God to whom I glorify, you know, I glorify your name. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Your steadfast love is great and amazing. And then, you know, we have this very common trope in Psalms where the psalmist is facing some danger, some outside forces. In this case, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life. So there's a very physical and present danger for this psalmist. Somebody is, you know, a band of ruffians that, you know, that does not sound good. It's a little old-fashioned sounding, but it's, you know, it's a group of unsavory people, let's say, and they are seeking the psalmist's life. But the psalmist places his or her trust in God, and so knows that no matter what happens, good or bad, God is with the psalmist. And then we get this phrase that many of you might know. We sing it in the Lutheran Church as part of the liturgy, you know, merciful and gracious. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Isn't that just a beautiful description of God? And it says, turn to me and be gracious to me. So there's that this image again of turning back toward God. In this case, the psalmist is pleading that God turn toward the psalmist. Maybe the psalmist feels a little bit like God is turned away because there are these outside forces threatening. But, you know, it is usually us who turn away from God. So when we repent, we turn back toward God. And it's just, this text is so dense. I mean, 11 through 17, so few verses for so much to be happening. And we are going to take the first break of the podcast. I know I just kind of threw a lot at you. This is a work in progress. Please bear with me. So when I come back, I'll be looking at the New Testament texts assigned for today, July 23rd, 2017, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking today about the text assigned for this week, for July 23rd, 2017. This is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Before the break, we looked at the reading from Isaiah and the reading from Psalm 86, and now we will be turning to the New Testament Psalms assigned for this week, the first of which comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 25, and those verses are as follows. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the whole creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we are saved. We were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we wait for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Again, this is Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. And like the other two verses, or the other two assigned readings today, I'm going to say the same thing. This is dense with a lot of really good stuff. In fact, Romans chapter 8, if you've never just sat down and read the entire chapter. You know, never sat down and read the entire book also, but chapter 8 is really incredible in the things that Paul writes about. In fact, there is a book that I read when I was in high school, maybe just out of high school, about just Romans chapter 8. And then when I was in college, my campus pastor did a whole Bible study on just Romans chapter 8. And so Romans chapter 8, if you've never just sat down and read it or done some devotional work on it, I really encourage you to do so, because as you see in these verses 12 through 25, there are some really amazing stuff talking about how we are, you know, there's that whole thing there's a lot of stuff in Romans about the flesh and living according to the flesh and the flesh versus the spirit, and that can get a little weighty sometimes. It can feel like it bogs down a little bit, but there's so many good things. I mean, we have received the spirit of adoption when we cry Abba and Abba Father. Abba, of course, being the more intimate version of Father, more like saying Daddy. So this intimate way of talking to God. And then you have, you know, that we are children of God because of the Spirit of God. We are children of God. And then this last part, for in hope we were saved. In hope we were saved. The hope of the promises of God through the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. We were saved in that hope. And, you know, we hope for what we do not see, because we haven't seen Jesus in the flesh. We haven't seen that Jesus was crucified and raised and ascended to God. We hope in that grace, in that love, in the amazing promises that God has given us. And then you also have this image of creation waiting in longing for the revealing of God, the revealing of the children of God, waiting as though in labor. And for those of you who have done it, then you know what waiting in labor for the revelation will be, right? The revelation of that child to be born to you that you've been carrying for so long. Or even if you are an adoptive parent and you're waiting, it's still that same kind of anticipation of waiting for that revelation of what is to come. So this chapter 8 verses 12 through 25 just has some really amazing stuff on it. I mean, I think any of the texts assigned for today, we could spend a couple hours at least, if not more, and I'm cramming them into one episode. So it's a bit dense. We are now going to look at the gospel assigned for this week, and that is from the Gospel of Matthew, because we are in the year of Matthew, as you might remember, in this lectionary cycle. And those verses come from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43, and they are as follows. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat, and then went away. Sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away, excuse me. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering their weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Jesus answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. Again, this is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. And if you attend a church that is on the lectionary cycle and you went last week, then you know that this is the second in kind of a similar genre of parables. Last week was the, again, a parable of a sower where the sower goes out and some of the seeds land on good soil, some land on rocky soil, some are snatched up by birds, etc. So it's another way that Jesus is trying to explain to people in ways that they can understand why people make the choices that they do, why the same group of people can hear the word of God and react differently to it. You know, people can hear those same promises of God and react differently, maybe not take them to heart, maybe choose to ignore them altogether, maybe only select bits and pieces of them for their own personal uses. And now he's expanding on that with another kingdom of heaven is like. And there are a lot of parables in the New Testament that start out with the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus used parables to try to explain to the people that came out to listen to him in ways that they could understand. And the parables in our day and age might be different, right? If Jesus were here today, he would use different kinds of parables because some of us obviously are, you know, there are farmers still in the world and they go out and sow the wheat fields, etc. And the parables like that would make sense. But others of us, you know, we don't live in that sort of agrarian society. So Jesus might tell parables about social media or any number of things that are existing in the world that Jesus would use to say the kingdom of heaven is like this. This exists in our everyday world, so let's look at it and use that as a metaphor for what the kingdom of heaven is like to try to get a glimpse of that, because this side of the kingdom of heaven, we're not ever going to fully comprehend it, but we can get glimpses through the parables, and that's what Jesus is doing here. So I am going to take the second break of the podcast, and then when I come back, we'll spend the last segment wrapping up and talking about these texts in general. And so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking today about the texts assigned for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. We have now read through all of those texts. They come from, again, Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8, Psalm 86, verses 11 through 17, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. And as I was reading through these texts for this week and, you know, kind of arranging my thoughts and thinking about what I might speak about, I was thinking when I was reading the Romans text and all the talk about adoption and children of God, etc., about a young man named Nick. And Nick was in the first congregation that I served in Montana, and he, oh my gosh, he just graduated from high school. So he's 18, which would have made him between about 8 and 10 when I was at that church. And Nick was great to have at children's time because he was very engaged and engaging. He liked to come up with questions. Sometimes he would try to come up with questions just to stump me, but most of the time he really listened and paid attention and had very good, very valid questions. And this Sunday was no different. I was talking about this Romans segment and these verses from Romans and how we are all children of God. And his question was, so if Jesus is God's only son, how can we all be children of God? And, you know, like I said, sometimes he liked to try to stump me and sometimes he was able to stump me, but at least I had an answer for this one. And so we talked about baptism and how we are all made children of God through baptism. We talked about that idea of, you know, adoption, that we might not be biologically children of God, of course, or we might not be biologically brothers and sisters to each other, but we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, that we have been adopted into this giant, crazy, messy, loving, huge family. And so this lesson from Romans today, it, as I mentioned, it does talk about how we are adopted into God's Spirit. And it uses a lot of words relating to family. Words like son, father, children, adoption, heirs. And this vocabulary describes relationships within a family and within a household. This language is actually not that common to Romans, to the book of Romans. It's definitely something that we should pay attention to, because as I mentioned, you know, a lot of this that we've been reading in Romans talks about the law and the flesh and the spirit, etc. And now you get these very different words, these relational words, these familial words. And Paul refers to Jesus as God's son in the letter, but then in chapter 8, he uses the word for son and child not to refer to Jesus, but to his siblings who are led by the Spirit. And then Paul embarks on a discussion of how we are given this new identity as children of God, how we are adopted into God's family. And I've mentioned before that I have five nieces, and three of those five are not actually biologically related to us. So my oldest niece, Sarah, is she was 3 months old when my brother started dating her mother, and she was just sort of immediately scooped into our family, and we were so happy when they got married and we could make it, you know, a little bit more official, but it didn't matter. She was ours from the moment that we saw her. And then Risa, who was born in August, oh my gosh, she'll be 7 this year, and she was, my sister and brother-in-law adopted her through Lutheran Social Services, and they got her just moments after she was born. They were at the hospital, and she was born via cesarean section, and they were brought Risa, you know, so short, just shortly after she was born. And I actually got to be there. I was with her older sister at the time, so I wasn't there when they first got her, but I was there very shortly after her arrival in this world. And her older sister, Maya, who was actually born in China. And so she was 8 months old when my sister and brother-in-law went to China to bring her home. And each year, in addition to her birthday, we celebrate her Gotcha Day. And that was actually this week. It's July 18th when we celebrate her Gotcha Day, that day when my sister and brother-in-law got to meet her for the first time, and they got to take her from the orphanage where she had been living and bring her home and surround her in our family. But when you think about it, all of us have our own Gotcha Days. Some people are really good at remembering and celebrating their baptismal anniversaries. Our baptismal anniversaries are those Gotcha Days when we receive the Spirit of God, when we are brought into the family of God. And, you know, then there's other people who don't pay as much attention to that stuff. They might not even know the date that they were baptized. I'm not great at remembering to celebrate. It's not something that we did in my family. I know a lot of families celebrate that day. They might light their baptismal candle. You know, they celebrate it almost like a Gotcha Day or a birthday. I never remember to put my baptismal date on the calendar so that I actually remember it. You'd think I would, but I don't. But I've been thinking about Maya's Gotcha Day and how happy we are that she is part of our family and how much we enjoy celebrating that fact. And yes, her little sister is very peeved that her Gotcha Day is the same day as her birthday, so she does not get 2 days to celebrate. But wouldn't it be awesome if we could all celebrate the day when we are brought into the family of God with the same excitement that Maya celebrates her Gotcha Day? For us and my family, these three nieces, they're just part of our family. There's no difference between them and the two who were biologically born to us. We celebrate how they came to us just as we celebrate the joy that we had when the two who were biologically related were born. We don't love them any differently than we do the other two. They are afforded the same love, the same respect, the same amount of goofy teasing and silliness that is just a part of my family. You know, they probably wish that they hadn't been adopted or born into a family full of dorks, but, you know, that's where they are, and hopefully they'll embrace us in all of our weirdness. All of them are children of our family, and we love them dearly. And Paul, in his letter, goes on to say to the church in Rome and describe what it means to be children of God, using phrases such as joint heirs with Christ, suffering with him and being glorified with him. I mean, this might not sound terribly encouraging, because who wants to suffer? And we have had a lot of texts about suffering the past 3 to 4 months in the lectionary cycle. But being an heir, being a child of God, means that we have a unique relationship with God. God isn't just some far-off being with whom we have no relationship. Here, Paul uses intimate terms, as I said, to refer to our relationship with God, using that word Abba, which can be translated as daddy. We now have the same relationship with God that Jesus himself had and has, making us joint heirs with Christ for the kingdom of God. And of course, that doesn't mean that our lives are going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we'll never experience suffering. That's just not the way the world works. Maya, Risa, and Sarah are a part of our family, but that doesn't mean, of course, that they're now going to have some sort of perfect life, that they wouldn't have had a good life with their other families. You know, it's a crapshoot, pardon my phrase, but we're all born into the life that we have, and it's not that it's automatically better than that other life that they might have had, but they are a part of us. They have been brought into our family just in a slightly different way than the other nieces have been brought into the family. It means that they share in the joys and the sorrows that we all share as a family, and we share in their joys and sorrows with them as they go through life. Likewise, to be a joint heir with Christ means to not just share in his resurrection, but also to share in that suffering and death. Because, as I've said before, when we are baptized into a death like Christ, we are baptized into that suffering and death. We are also baptized into a resurrection like Christ's. And so in the remaining verses of the reading today, Paul talks as openly as possible about the suffering of humanity and creation, as together we await the revealing of what we are in Christ. That is, the revealing of us as children of God. Now, those terms of relationship that Paul already used are used to describe the mutual suffering of all creation. The whole creation, Paul writes, groans together and suffers together, waiting with anticipation for the redemption that comes from our adoption, from our relationship as children of God. One of the causes of suffering for those who have received the spirit of adoption is that the Spirit has given us reason to hope for more than we can see. In the upcoming verses, the ones that we didn't read today, suffering will be expanded to include anything that threatens to separate us from God's love. But for now, the suffering that Paul speaks of is suffering that comes from knowing what the world could be, even as we live in the world as it is. And here is where the image of the parable that Jesus tells us in today's gospel is helpful. Because this is the parable, of course, of the wheat and the weeds, as we read before the break. You can't tell them apart. They have to grow together, you know, until the harvest. The master says, just leave them. We'll sort it out later. The field was planted with good seed. It was going to be beautiful as it grew to maturity, but things happen, and in this case, bad seed was sown in with the good for whatever reason, and the field is now a mess. The crop is threatened, and the servants, who are wanting to be helpful, almost make matters worse by wanting to separate the wheat and the weeds too early. And it's easy to make this text about us and them. You know, we so often want to categorize ourselves into the, you know, well, definitely I'm the good seed. Of course I'm the good seed. You know, we want to make someone else, someone that we don't agree with, the bad seed. And, you know, trust me, I have a list of quote unquote those people that I would see as the bad seed, you know, who at first glance, I think they're annoying in some way, or who don't share my, you know, my clearly right ideas on God and religion and theology and science fiction and books and whatever else. But one of the major points of this parable is that we can't tell the good from the bad. It isn't our job to determine that in the first place. And as a Lutheran, my Lutheran theology reminds me, that we are simultaneously saint and sinner. We cannot separate those two. They both exist inside each and every one of us. So when we look at this parable through that lens, we realize that we are going to be both wheat and weeds during our lifetimes. The temptation often when reading this parable is to put ourselves in the role of a weeder. And when we do so, we can kind of whip ourselves into a weeding frenzy, right? Just yanking out weeds left and right. We're so certain that we know the difference between weeds and wheat, and we know how to deal with those weeds. But this text tells us that we anticipate that day when it will only be wheat. And we want to force that future reality rather than living in the world as it is currently. We forget that we aren't the ones who can tell the difference simply by looking. Part of what Paul is talking about in his letter to the church in Rome is that there are many things in this life that will cause us suffering. The reality is that we live in a world that is far from perfect. We live in a world where weeds and wheat exist alongside one another. A related reality is that we are often the weeds as often as we are the wheat. So pretending to know which is which and what to do about it really is the height of arrogance. Paul doesn't leave the readers with this image of suffering, though. His letter isn't one of despair, but one of hope. And the hope lies in our very identities as children of God. We are God's beloved sons and daughters, and we have all been given the same love, the same respect, the same gifts that Jesus is given as God's son. We are heirs with Christ of God's kingdom and all of the promises of God. No family is perfect, and you know, all families contain wheat and weeds. But even though we know that we suffer with Christ as family suffers together through all kinds of hardship, we also know without a doubt that we live in hopeful anticipation of that time when God's kingdom is a full and complete reality. And so our hope and our joy lies in our adoption as children of God. And we give thanks for our own gotcha days, those days when we were brought into the family and brought into those promises of God. And that is all the time that we have for today's episode. I thank you, as always, for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week when we'll be looking at the text assigned for July 30th, 2017, the 8th Sunday after Pentecost. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, any of the apps that you use for your mobile devices. And you can find us and interact with me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram, GSMC Bible Study. I look forward to hearing from you. So I hope that you will join me next week as we look at the text assigned for the 8th Sunday after Pentecost. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope that you will remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.